So I'm outside on Jaffa Road, and this is the first time that I've actually taken time to record, and I only woke up about an hour ago. And what I'm watching is must be, I don't know, thousands of people in a marathon running down Jaffa Road. It's incredible. And I'm waiting for Keith Johnson to turn up, and while I'm out on the street, lo and behold, here are the runners. It's really quite a scene. I don't know what the... this is apparently the Jerusalem Marathon. There's a lot of people gathered on the streets just to watch, including myself. They're clapping, they're cheering them on. Wow, this is obviously a major event. I can't tell you how many. It's like a sea of people running down Jaffa Road. Jono speaking. G'day, mate. How are you? Yeah. I'll meet you. I'll start walking down. Put your luggage away. Are you staying there, or you do that, and I'll be around there somewhere. All right, my friend. Okay. See you later.
On. Oh, no, my friend. I've never met Jodo in my
whole
life.
G'day, mate. This Jodo. How are you?
I'm in Jerusalem. Wait, hold on.
I know. I came out this morning at 8:30 and there was a sea of people. I mean, yesterday when I arrived, it was absolutely buzzing with life. So I'm trying to keep up with Keith and Kyle. We entered in through the Damascus Gate and we're walking down through. He's laughing at me because he's far ahead. I'm catching up now. Keith, where are we, my friend?
Well, I've decided that we're going to be going to a special place, but why not start at the most controversial spot in the old city, Jerusalem? Let's go to Damascus Gate, the Arab quarter, where we can get a real good idea of what our surroundings are.
So, speaking of your surroundings, my friend, what are we looking at? Just describe
the
street for us.
Well, we're in the narrow streets where we got shops on both sides, people yelling, selling, going back and forth. It's just going to be Shabbat in the next, 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So people are out shopping and getting everything that they can get, and people are, they're doing their Friday thing.
Okay, so we're going to a very special place that you've briefly told us about. I'm not really sure exactly what we're doing, but we're following you. And we're going to do that straight after that. We're going to be doing our Shabbat shopping.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to hang low for Shabbat. It's going to be nice.
It's going to be a blast.
But this is incredible. Walking through these streets is, wow. It's amazing.
So what I love about this, I love being around all the different kinds of people. I don't really take these, they have them as quarters, but I look at the old city of Jerusalem as our Creator's city. And right now it's, in the place that it is with different groups of people, but you know what? There's something about being inside these walls that just changes things. You know, it's a feeling of peace.
So we've got all this music, I've got all these people cheering. I'm not exactly sure where we are, but we're just about to find out. Keith, where are we?
We're actually, if you notice here, this is called the Jaffa Gate.
So we're at the entrance of the Jaffa Gate.
And there's a big party because there's a marathon.
There's a big party because these are the people completing the marathon,
absolutely,
right? And everyone's cheering them on as they arrive.
Absolutely.
This is a marathon that we took photos of earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are, well, it's an exciting time to be in Jerusalem. They've got the marathon on today. Keith has just taken us on a marathon.
Oh, my goodness, I hear the bells ringing.
What?
The bells are ringing, folks.
Oh, so they are.
So it's time to do the interview right now.
It's time to
do
the interview.
It's 12 o'clock noon. Right now, let's start the interview. Well, it's 12 o'clock noon.
We've been walking. Finally, we've arrived at this place that Keith has been talking about. He's been wanting to tell me about. You've been keeping me on the edge of my seat.
I didn't let you do anything else, in fact.
We jumped in a cab. No, we did jump in a cab. We tried to get a cab. We couldn't get a cab. And so we did our own marathon. Anyway, here we are. Keith, please, where are we? What is the significance of this place?
We are in the spot where the most former pope, Pope Benedict XVI, who just renounced his ministry yesterday...
Mm.
The last thing he did before he renounced his ministry is he negotiated through the Vatican to have a seat of authority in this very spot we are right now. Now, to the best of my ability, I've tried to share a little bit about this spot. What have I told you so far about this place?
Well, Keith, I don't really understand. What you're saying to me is that he negotiated we're sitting in the Pope's seat of authority.
We're sitting right now at this moment as people are coming in and out of the doors.
We're sitting on the throne of
the former Pope. Because right now, as of this moment, the seat is empty. The Pope has left as yesterday at 8 p.m., the 28th of February, and the next Pope has not been selected.
Of course.
So right now, the seat of authority is empty, and Jono and I are sitting in the seat of authority in Jerusalem, the very spot that the Pope negotiated.
This is the last thing that he did when he was here, before he left.
No, he didn't leave. No, he wasn't actually in Jerusalem. It took like 20 years to actually get this done. They have been in negotiations for over 20 years with Israel to finally be able to have the ability to have some authority in this place. Now, we're in a place that's traditionally called the Last Supper Room. So now we've got Christians, different groups of people all over the world that are coming in and out. Right,
so this room is filling up pretty quickly, Keith. The bells started ringing, and people are flooding into this room.
Yes.
What you're referring to as the seat of authority of the Pope.
Yeah, well, and actually what's going to happen is people are going to break out in song, in prayer. It's something that happens all the time because there's actually two traditions. One tradition is that this is the room for what's called the upper room, where they believe that Pentecost took place, though we understand biblically that that didn't happen. We can talk about that later. The second thing that they say traditionally is the Last Supper room, where Jesus and his disciples had their Last Supper. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has not had authority in these areas, and so for the last 20 years, they've been trying to get this authority. Finally, as I mentioned, the last thing that he accomplished before he left, around January 30th, or 31st, they made the announcement, international statement, that they've given the seat of authority to him in this room. So now the Roman Catholic Church will be able to come in here and do services. They'll have hours. They'll have different things that they'll be doing, and people can't just come and go as they please anymore. Now, here's a little controversy about this. Just downstairs, what did I take you to? What did I show you downstairs?
David's tomb.
Yeah, the traditional spot for King David's tomb. And a lot of the Jewish people that come there are very offended by what's been negotiated, because what they're saying is, you know, up to this point, it's been very open.
Mm-hmm.
People can come in, as you see, different denominations. The Jewish people can be at David's tomb. There won't be these sorts of things. But now, as people will be coming, there'll be smoke and incense and mass and rules and regulations, and so there's going to be some change. But you can hear the people now.
So, Keith, what you're saying is that now the last pope has negotiated this as a seat of authority. You and I are sitting here. The service is taking place. And now the pope has left his office, and there is about to be a new pope who is going to inherit this seat of authority in Jerusalem.
Yes, and actually, I'll tell you another thing about it is, not only did he negotiate authority in this spot, but they also were able to negotiate tax-exempt status throughout Israel. The Vatican will have tax-exempt status as a nonprofit or church or whatever you want to call it, which is going to be throughout Israel. But they had to get this spot. And one of the reasons they needed this spot is that they wanted to have a place outside of Rome where they could say, yes, we've put our stake now. Now, they do not have ownership of the spot, but they've been given authority, and that's why they use the word seat of authority, for them to be able to conduct the services that they want to. And again, that shuts the door to some other people that aren't Roman Catholic. As you say today, people will come in and out of here, different groups will come in and out of here, and when they do what they're going to do, that will have to stop.
Okay, so Pope Benedict, well, is he still the Pope? I don't know what he is now. He's left the office yesterday.
And that's a very interesting thing, Jonah. I'm actually going to tell you something that's really interesting. I believe that the Pope isn't really going anywhere. In fact, what they know is they renovated a place for him to be inside the walls of the Vatican. So that I think it's going to be real soon here, probably in the next few weeks, where he'll move into that spot. And he will actually be inside the walls of the Vatican as the former Pope, doing what I call being the puppet master.
Ooh, the puppet master. So we're going to have two popes.
He'll say that he's not the Pope because he's given up his ability to wear the red shoes and the red robe. That's what he said in the last couple of days. But one of the things he did that's very interesting is he changed the law, the rules, for when the conclave can take place. Mm-hmm. On Monday, he signed into law that the conclave can start immediately rather than the normal 15-day wait period. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Pope doesn't want too much time to pass before his guy will be put in place.
Wait a minute. You said his guy.
Jono, his guy has been groomed for such a time as this. Everything he's done over the last years has been put in position so that his guy that has been groomed will step into the position to complete the papal power play.
I've heard some rumors over the last month that this has all been, you know, set up, certain conspiracy theories and whatnot, that they already know who's going to be the next pope. Some people have speculated Pietro, others as well. There's been speculation. Do you think, you say his guy, you think you know who it is?
No, I absolutely know who it is. And actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to give those, the listeners, truth to you, the first place where we've done this, truth to you, the opportunity to go to your website and to see a 2-minute presentation on the next pope exposed.
When is the smoke meant to be going up?
I'm telling you, whether they're going to make it last long or short, the bottom line is the decision's already been made. What I'm praying for and what I'm hoping for, that the College of Cardinals will have a conscience before God and man and will not allow themselves to be puppets of this papal power play, but rather they'll go in and ask the real Holy Father if there should even be a pope, and if so, who should it be? Why do they have to fall in line with the agenda of the pope? I'm saying we know who that person is. I'm hoping that they don't pick him. I'm hoping that they say no to the Pope. But if they don't, we're going to be geniuses. And if they do, we'll be happy.
You think you know who it is?
Oh, no, I absolutely know who it is. And you're going to know who it is. And everyone that watches this 2-minute presentation is going to know who it is, because it's been very carefully put in place exactly who should be groomed to fall in line with being the next Pope.
Okay, but you're not going to tell us now. You have to go to Truth to You and watch this.
Go to Truth to You.
We're going to have a 2-minute video.
I want to go to your website to see this, because you're the first person that I get a chance to talk about. I mean, you're in Jerusalem. I got to tell you folks what I've done. I flew all night, got to Jerusalem looking for Jono. I've never met Jono face to face. I see him within 2 minutes. I tell him, Jono, the schedule's changed. We've got to go over to the Last Supper room, to the place where the seat of authority for the Pope is, and expose the fact that we know who the next Pope is, if things go according to his plan.
Okay. If it goes according to... Well, this is intriguing. So this, you're going to give me this 2-minute video. We're going to put this... It's going to be on this post.
First place we're going to put it, we're going to give it to you. We're going to put it so when this radio show goes up, they can listen to the radio show. Hey, we're right in the spot. We're here at noon on the first day of March,
okay,
2013, the day after the Pope has left and renounced his ministry. We're in this spot, and so what we want to do on this day is release this information to the world.
Okay, there it is. So the 2-minute video is on this post. You can watch that. You can find out who Keith believes is the next Pope. You're absolutely certain.
And I'm hoping that they don't choose this guy. I'm hoping that they don't, but this is the guy that's been groomed to be potentially the last Pope.
There it is, dear listeners. You've got it. From Keith, as we sit here in the seat of authority.
We're sitting in his seat right now, Jonah.
We're keeping it warm. It's kind of cold, actually.
It's kind of cold. But we're here, and you're here with us, and I want to thank you folks for listening. But right now, let's be about finding out the information for ourselves so that we can make an informed decision, not get caught up in conspiracies and all that. Let's just get the information. That's what I love about Truth to You, giving people the opportunity to get some truth and applying it in their life. So,
thank you. Amen. Thank you, Keith.